What a joy to praise the Lord.
I do want to add my welcome. So glad we can be together, especially for any newcomers or visitors and folks online. We're just thankful that we can be together and praise the Lord and hear from His Word. You may not know, but we're in the middle of an in-depth study of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. And after he's written three glorious chapters about the wonder of who we are in Christ and what He's done, the tremendous gift of salvation, how God has made us new. In the last three chapters, Paul gets practical and he teaches us how we are to live. And so today in today's passage, we'll continue our study on the family. We've learned just this past couple weeks about how husbands and wives are to relate. And today we begin to dig in and see God's instruction, His direction for children and for parents. The Bible is so practical. God gives us truth that we might understand reality. And then He gives us commands that we might know how to live our lives. And here He is, after He's taken three chapters to just expand on the wonders of the glory of God and the work of redemption, His intervention in our lives while we were yet dead in sin, how He's made us alive together with Christ. In the middle of this letter, He turns and now He speaks to children. And it's because when God's people gather, they gather as families. Paul knew when the church was there together in Ephesus, there'd be families together, the seniors and the juniors and the little ones all together gathered to hear God's word and as a family to process that together. You see, God's design is that the church would be a picture of all humanity, families together for all generations and all nations united together in this picture of the kingdom that's to come. And so here Paul is now going to address instruction for children. Another detail before we dive in. You'll notice that we've just finished studying about husbands and wives, and Paul then directly goes to teach about children. And the reason that is because in God's beautiful design, His plan is that when husbands and wives are united in marriage, the natural fruit of that relationship would be children. We heard just from Jeff last week how the church is this beautiful picture of God, Christ's love for His bride, the church, and how it is the call of a husband and wife together to demonstrate a reflection of that beautiful reality. And that union together is designed by God to be fruitful. God made one of the delights of marriage to be the physical union of man and woman, and the fruit of that is little children. And His design is that only under the umbrella of a covenant love, lifelong relationship, one man and one woman, would that gift of intimacy be able to enjoy it in such a way that little ones enter into the world. So we see God's design for marriage is not only that we reflect the glory of Christ and His church, but also that it be a context for the raising up of a new generation of people who will love God with all their heart and who will live in service to Christ. That is the fruit of God's plan. You see, His design is for every child to be a love child. That the same dad and mom that it takes to start that process would be involved in raising those children and preparing them to be servants of God in the next generation. And so here He takes time to address children and to speak to them their responsibility as members of the family of God. Now, it may be that you're a single person or a widow or a couple haven't been able to have children, and you may wonder, well, what's in today's message for me? And the fact is, because God has united us together as members of His family, He wants all of us engaged in loving and serving, and engaged in some way in preparing the next generation for the work of the gospel. And so some of you are involved in ministry to children, others to young adults, and that investment God will use for his glory to change the future as the kingdom advances into the next generation. So knowing these truths and sharing these truths are not only good for kids and their parents, but good for all of society. So with that introduction, let's hear what God says to children. We'll be studying Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. And if you don't have a Bible, there may be one in the seat beneath, the seat in front of you. We'll be studying on page 979. But let's open our Bibles and hear from God's word. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Hear the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this moment of pause. Thank you for the privilege to praise you. And now we'd ask that your Holy Spirit would take your holy word and write it on our hearts, that you would apply these truths to our lives, that our lives might reflect the reality of how you've made us to live, that we would grow in humility, in obedience, in dependence, that the beauty of your design would be reflected in the way we live and love one another. So teach us, Lord, use your word and transform us, we pray. We ask with thanksgiving in Christ's name. So as we study God's instruction to children, we're going to look at three elements. First, God's instruction to little children. Secondly, God's instruction to all children. And thirdly, why God gives us these commands. So let's begin by pondering God's instruction to little children. Here, Paul is very specific. He uses this word, which means little ones, that's a broad term and speaks to children literally from when they're toddlers all the way to adulthood. And you'll notice, again, as I mentioned, the church is gathered and he's speaking directly to those little ones. And many of them may well have remembered Paul. He was 3.5 years serving, teaching, establishing, equipping leaders for the work in Ephesus. And they could look back and even imagine his voice as he says, children, little children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. His words are direct and straightforward. But of course, this presupposes that parents are instructing and directing and guiding and teaching their children. We'll hear more about that next week as we consider parents' responsibilities in this family designed by God. But here we see this instruction to children. Children, obey your parents. And a good question to ask is, when are those words most important? So I'd like to just take a little moment here and speak to the children here this morning. I have two questions for you guys. The first question is, when do we need to obey this command? And the second question is, when do we most need to remember to obey this command? Okay? Got it? The answer to the first question, when do we need to obey? Well, God says, unless our parents tell us to do something wrong, we're supposed to obey them always, at all times. And then the second question, when is the time we most need to remember this command? Well, the answer is when you don't want to do what they're telling you to do. That's when we need to remember God's word. You can imagine dad and mom, you know, we're at the dinner table and they say, eat your ice cream and you can have extra chocolate sauce if you want. I mean, that's really not a big problem, right? Okay, we can do that. But when they say, eat your vegetables, that's a little different. And so it is that when we're inclined not to obey, That's when we most need to remember this command to obey. You see, your parents will command you to do some unpleasant things, some things you don't want to do. They'll tell you to do things like clean up your room, make your bed. They'll tell you to watch the way you talk. Maybe they might command you to apologize to your sister. They may tell you something uncomfortable, like you need to go and mow the lawn. Or they may tell you to brush your teeth twice a day. I don't know. But whatever they tell you, you need to obey. And the reason they command you is they are preparing you for a lifetime of good, of doing well. Learning as children to obey will help you for a lifetime to live in line with God's design. And so it is that from early age, God wants you guys to learn to obey. And here's a suggestion. When dad or mom ask you to do something, try saying, yes, dad, or yes, mom, and see how they react. It could be good. But your parents are working to prepare you for a lifetime of success. Their aim is for you to learn to fit in with his design. And learning at an early age to obey will help you for a lifetime to do what those in authority instruct us to do. And so please, children, obey your parents, and you will benefit from that good decision. God wants you to learn now, because there'll be times when you're tempted to do exactly opposite of what they say. And so please, God wants you to be strong on the inside so you can do what's right, even when it's hard. So learning this lesson now is so important. Thank you for listening to me. For all of us, God does give us one condition, one limitation to this command, and that is, children, obey your parents in the Lord. You see, there will unfortunately be cases and times when parents command their children to do things that are wrong, that are contrary to God's good will. And so in those moments, a child is not to obey their parents. They're to respectfully refuse to obey, because doing wrong, even if a parent commands to do wrong, is still wrong. And so as hard as that may be, there may be times in some situations where a parent commands something that is wrong or evil. And so you, children, are not to obey. And all of us are to teach our kids that there are limitations even to this instruction from parents. Otherwise, children are to obey swiftly and clearly. Remember, delayed obedience is disobedience. It's sad that some people grow up and they never learn this lesson. And so they struggle through life because the simple lesson of obeying parents isn't further applied. And so it's a huge battle. How many problems might be avoided if we had learned at an early age to obey the authorities that God has placed over us? A lot of times we'd avoid a lot of problems. Paul then gives us a reason for this command. He tells us this is right. And with those three words, Paul declares that there is a moral fabric to the universe. God has established laws, and there is such a thing as right and wrong. There is absolute truth, and there is moral law given by a moral lawgiver who is the creator of all things. He wove right and wrong into the fabric of his creation. Just as there are natural laws like gravity that affect physical body, so there is moral law as a reflection of his nature in creation. It is the Creator who defines what's right and wrong, and that is in accordance with his nature and his pleasure. And so there are things that are right, like children obeying their parents, and to do contrary is wrong. But when we fit in with his design, things work well. And yet that's a hard pill for our culture to swallow. We live in an age with a spirit of lawlessness that has infected many, even some of the families on your street. Little ones are encouraged to challenge authority, to resist discipline, to make up their own rules, or to try to live with no rules at all. They try to tell us freedom is doing whatever you want. And yet God says in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is the way of death. Perhaps you can remember your grandmother talking about raising your parents, and maybe a comment like, you know, we couldn't give them much, but we taught them the difference between right and wrong. Comments like that seem strange in today's culture. Contemporary Western culture would try to convince us there's no such thing as right and wrong. Everything is relative. And with many people, this misguided worldview is winning. There are young people who have grown up in Christian homes who have learned right from wrong from their parents, and they go off to school or to work, and they're saturated by a culture that says, no, throw that off. You need to discover your truth. You need to figure out what's right for you. They're encouraged to experiment with all kinds of things like sex, like substances, like gender issues, identity. And they're told by exploring, you can discover who you are. And yet how contrary to God's simple truth that he has made things right and there are things that are wrong. And when young people fall into those traps, they don't realize that it will lead to things like addiction to substance. It could lead to unwanted pregnancies, unwanted experiences, untold unwanted memories, because they've experimented with things that are contrary to the design of God. The Bible is clear. God has established right and wrong, and he's told us that in the scriptures for our benefit as those that he loves. But developmentally, we learn that first as children obeying our parents. When a young child wants to argue with dad or mom, it's fair for a parent to say, child, this is my instruction. Your responsibility is to obey. I'm not here to debate with you or convince you. God wants me to teach and train you. And so this is my instruction. Your job is to follow. Is that clear? When a child learns to obey his or her parents as a little one, there'll be time as children grow and mature. There'll be times to process together, and that's good. But that dynamic is built on this simple dynamic. In Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So we see that healthy society and healthy families are built on this foundation of children obeying their parents. But let's consider, secondly, God's instruction for all children. Here, Paul quotes from the fifth of the 10 commandments, and he tells us all, honor your father and mother. Now, honoring is a bit different from obeying. Obeying tends to be action-oriented. Honoring is more an attitude, an inclination of the heart. So in terms of difference, it's helpful. The word honor that Paul uses here, he's looking back to the Ten Commandments, and there the Hebrew word for honor is the word kabod. It's a word that means weight or glory. And the idea is that we're to give our parents, it's like the English word gravitas. We count them as significant, as weighty. Their influence, their opinion, we're to value and to respect and to demonstrate in the way we interact with them. And yet, as Jeff mentioned last week, there's in marriage, there's this dance. There's also a dance in honoring our parents. You see, we can honor our parents and still choose at times to go contrary to their wishes or even resist the demands they might put on us. We can honor our parents and respectfully disagree. Many believers have suffered rejection from a parent for following Christ in baptism or in other elements of their Christian devotion. And yet God tells us that we must honor him before men. And so there's a dance involved in honoring our parents. We need to understand that to honor our parents doesn't mean we need to like them. We may not respect them or agree with their decisions. We may not even trust them. There are sadly plenty of parents who have not merited the trust of their children, who are not good or wise. Many believers came to Christ when they realized that the Heavenly Father is actually very different from their parents. He is good and perfect, and he's the Father all of us have longed for, and none of us have had until we find him. And so this dance requires we honor them, and yet we honor God in first order. And yet God is full of surprises. I've known of more than one parent who came to Christ when their child met Christ, went home, and just started honoring their parents. And as those children who are once maybe not so honorable spoke with respect to their parents and served them lovingly and willingly, the parents are like, what has happened to my kid? This is like, I've never seen this before. And out of curiosity for what's happened in their child, they begin to explore the gospel truth and seeking, they have found Christ. And so I would encourage you, especially if recently you've come to Christ, take this command to heart and bless your parents. Demonstrate his love for them by loving and serving and engaging. The reality is that when we ask, how do I honor my parents, that could look differently for all of us. We come from different families, different cultures, different backgrounds. So we need to ask the question, what will communicate respect and honor to my parents? And to process that in a particular way. That may involve things like a phone call from time to time or a visit. It could be engaging a conversation in something that they are particularly interested in. It could be that you give them a word of praise to thank them for things that they've done that they may not even remember. It may involve even asking their forgiveness. God wants us to demonstrate his grace by honoring our parents. Now, obviously, all parents have made some poor decisions along the way, and I confess I've made my share. And yet, this call to honor is not because our parents deserve honor. We honor our parents out of respect and out of honor for Christ. And he is the one that gives us that capacity. He's the one that chose our dad and mom. Although you may wonder what he was thinking when he made that decision, and yet we still honor them because we respect the sovereign hand of God. Another key to honoring our parents is the big step of choosing to forgive them. As long as we view our parents in the light of their guilt and their failings, it will be very hard to honor them. And now here again, there are some children who've grown up in godly homes. Your parents are wonderful models of the Christian life. And for you to forgive parents may not be a hard ask at all. But for others, this may seem like a virtually impossible task. It may be that you're thinking, you don't know what I've suffered. You have no idea how my parents treated me. To forgive them you have no clue the scars that I bear, the pain that I've endured. And the reality is suffering at the hands of those who most ought to be trusted leaves even deeper scars. And yet Jesus calls us to forgive not mostly for their sake, but for our sake. He commands us to forgive as an invitation to freedom. He's saying you are no longer under your parents' power or required to bear the responsibility to demand justice from whatever happened. They no longer hold sway over us. And why is that? Because we have been set free by Christ. We've been adopted into his family. We've been given a new grace, an ability to love even our enemies by his power, by his work in our lives. And so when you forgive your parents, you entrust them to the righteous judge. He will even all accounts. The judge of all the earth will do right. And so it is, when you forgive your parents, you'll find a new power, a new grace to be able to love them, new eyes with which to see them. When we can see our parents as those who need the gospel as much as we do, those who need the forgiveness of God as much as we, it's easier to take grace from God and as a gift from him to them to share that as a gift from Christ. And so the Lord instructs us, all of us, to honor our father and mother. But lastly, let's ponder why. Why does God give us these commandments? Again, in verse 3, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Won't you just soak on those words for a second? This is the word from your Heavenly Father. And he wants things to go well with you. Because of his love, because of his tender affection, he wants your life to be a blessing. He wants you to live a long time in a life that's satisfying and rich. And he's the one that can make that happen. You see, God really is on our side. As we looked earlier in Ephesians, he longs to be our helper, for us to constantly recognize our need of him, to lean on him, to look to him, to trust him, to allow his power to work through our weakness. God wants to bless you. He gets joy in blessing us. Now, just a personal question. Have you ever had a moment where you've been a blessing to someone in crisis or someone in need? Think about that. Like, it could be as simple as a mother of a little child who grabs a crying baby and nurses that baby. And it's so amazing to watch from this desperate cry. Now this baby just relaxes and rests in mom's arms. Like, wow, what a gift. Or it could be maybe you're one of those mechanical people and you're driving down the road and you see someone stuck with a flat tire and you happen to pull over and you know how to change a flat tire. Not everybody does. If you do, that's great. But when you help somebody, how does that feel? There's a reward. God has made us so that we're blessed by blessing. And that's because we're made in his image. You see, God is blessed by blessing. And so when your life goes well, he delights. He's glad. Like, how many parents here have maybe your kid does something and they get an award at school or something, and like your buttons are bursting. That's my kid. Whoa. There's this delight. In the same way, the Lord is delighted when we obey him, and because he then can bless us, because we're living in line with his design for all things. God wants your life to be a blessing. Now, just a moment for a clarification. There may be some even here this morning, and your image of God is he's some heavenly killjoy who's like up above the clouds, just looking down and looking for times that you step out of line because he just is waiting to send a lightning bolt down on your head. There are people that feel that way. And tragically, that perspective is mistaken. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to pay the debt for our sins. He suffered that so that we could know his love for an eternity. He who did not spare his own son but gave him up freely for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? But as I mentioned, there are laws in his universe. He's designed us to live in accordance with those laws. And so when he tells us, children, to obey parents, all of us to honor father and mother, it's because he wants us to live in line with his design. Now, one detail, God is under no obligation to give us all the facts of life. You remember with Adam and Eve, he told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and surely in the day he were to eat of it, he would die. He didn't tell Adam that there was this enemy by the name of Satan who was just looking for a way to trick and cause them to sin against God. He didn't explain to Adam that he would be a slave of the one he obeyed. And yet when Adam chose to disobey God and chose to obey the prince of the power of the air, all the world fell under the influence of the evil one. And so why command children to obey parents? Why promise us that we will live long in the land? This is not some magical issue, but God knows, as a rule, parents want their kids to do well. And so they'll instruct them in ways that are life-preserving. If a parent tells a kid, don't cross the street without looking both ways, look both ways, and then cross the street. When children obey their parents, they're far less likely to get run over. Children just dash across the street, their life could be prematurely terminated. When parents tell their kids, don't do drugs, don't mess with drugs, please, and kids obey their parents, they live. But how many young people in our day have received a pill laced with fentanyl in our schools, and they take it and die? God wants us to avoid those tragedies. And so he would have us to live in line, children obeying their parents, all of us honoring our fathers and mothers. And so it is that when we see these practical instructions, you know, it may be that even this morning there are some children who are living in disobedience to their parents, and today's a day to change. It could be that some of us need to honor our parents in new ways, that we haven't been faithful in keeping these commands from God. And one of the joys of studying the scriptures is this is a time to change. God's power, his spirit is here to equip us, to convict us, and to conform us to his image. And so we've seen, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first command with a promise. Here's what God wants, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Perhaps you've never even met the Heavenly Father, and today he's speaking to you. And I want you to know that the Father sent his Son, who lived a perfect life, who chose willingly to go to the cross. He there bore the penalty for all our sin. But not only did he die, but he rose again. He today would offer you a gift, the gift of eternal life. And so by faith, you can just say to him, Jesus, I need forgiveness. To be able to forgive, I need you to forgive me. And so won't you come into my life? Won't you forgive my sin? I turn from my way. I want to follow you as my Lord and my lover. Make me your child today. And he will gladly do that. Today, where you sit, you can become a child of God. What a joy then to learn to live in line with His design for the family. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. We thank you for your commands. Lord, I pray that our families and our BCF family would shine with the love and speak the truth in such a way that men and women, boys and girls are meeting you, being changed forever to live in your family. We give you thanks for your holy word and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.